Welcome back to Broken Messenger. The last episode, I broached the subject of parenting biblically. Today, we're going to take a deeper dive into that subject and what the Bible has to say about parenting. There are so many books out there like What to Expect When You're Expecting, Parenting for Dummies, The Chicken Soup for the Parent Soul. The list truly is just so, so long. Why are there so many books out there? Because parenting is hard, and everyone is looking for the right answer and the quick answer. And where there is a demand, it means that there is money to be found in the supply. I'm guilty of purchasing a book or two, especially when I was expecting. But what I didn't know then, that I do now, is there is only one book that has all the answers to parenting. In fact, this one book is the answer to all the self-help books out there. Better Leader? Yep, it's got that in there. Better Spouse? You betcha. Better Student? Yep, it's got that too. Really, just Better Self. It's got mostly, definitely got that covered. The reality is the Bible, if followed, will help us become more and more like Jesus, and there is nothing better at anything than Jesus. Back on parenting in particular, in today's society, it feels like the majority of parents are one extreme or another. Society calls the one extreme helicopter parent and the other the hands-off approach to parenting. Then we have the extremes of discipline, one with an iron fist and the other with no discipline at all. But as I say in most every episode I record, Satan is in the extremes, and we want to be perfectly balanced between all those extremes. Today's episode will consist of three parts. First, we will take a look at who God is. Then we will take a look at who God says we are. And finally, the third part, we will compare our parenting to God's parenting. I do want to fully disclose that you might not like what I have to say about parenting. I challenge you, though, to put off what you think you know about parenting. Put off the parenting style that you had growing up, and put off the parent style that you're currently using today even. And just listen with an open heart. With an open heart to hear what the Word of God has to say on the matter. Not me, but what the Word has to say. First, let's review some of the names of God that we can find throughout Scripture. There's Jehovah Ra, meaning the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shema, meaning the Lord is there. Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. Yahweh, meaning to be. The great I am. The wonderful counselor. Abba, which means daddy. Father, meaning mentor and provider. We see our God called many different names, and that's just a few that I just broached on, but they represent the many different roles that God plays in our lives, just as we do to our children. And these days, I feel like an events coordinator, secretary, counselor, advisor, and chauffeur to my daughter. But God is not just God. He is our healer, our counselor, our encourager, our mentor, our leader, our creator, our protector, our daddy, and so much more. And I have a really hard time using the word daddy in reference to God. My emotional or my feeling reaction is that it's too childish for God. Kind of the same way as children grow, they move from daddy to dad. They feel it's too childish. But let's look at this in another direction. When a child calls her dad daddy, how does she perceive him at that age? As her hero, as her everything. She's not too cool for him yet. So I'm working on having a desire to call my Lord as my daddy, because I want him to be my hero, my everything, and someone that I'm not too cool for. So what does the Word of God say about who we are? Galatians 4, 6 through 7 says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his sons into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And see, you are since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Romans 8:14-15 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoptionship to sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. And finally, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 6:18, where we will see both who God is and who he says we are, all in the same scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:18, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So if the Lord is our Father and we are the children, Do we not have at our fingertips the perfect example of how to be a parent? Now we will never be as perfect of a parent to our children as God is to us, but that doesn't give us an excuse to not put forth the effort to be more and more like God in our own parenting. So if God is our example, let us look first not at what not at what we are supposed to do, but what he already does for us. He is compassionate and forgiving, not holding faults over our head. Luke 15:20-24, it says, "So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate.' The son, when they put that ring on his finger, the father was saying, 'You are a part of this family.' Those rings were family rings. The son went off and spent every last penny of his inheritance. He came home with nothing to show for his troubles, not even shoes on his feet. He came back with the hopes to be a lowly servant to his father. But his father showed great compassion and forgiveness. The father knew when discipline was necessary and when compassion was necessary. The father knew that the pigsty that he had been in taught him more than any discipline the father could have provided. And the compassion and forgiveness did more to build a trusting relationship than any discipline would have done. But God also knows that discipline is necessary. In Revelation 3:19, Jesus is speaking and he says, 'Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent.' And in Hebrews 12:7, it says, 'Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had our human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it.'" You see, God knows that discipline given out in the correct time, in the correct manner, will bring about respect, not hate. God is a provider and a defender. Deuteronomy 1:30 says, "The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very own eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place." The imagery creates in my head a child who has grown weary from walking and her daddy lifts her up and places her on his shoulders and carries her the rest of the way. I see myself on my daddy's shoulders at an air show. We used to go to air shows all the time when I was little. I was tired and he was my provider. He didn't tell me to suck it up and keep walking. He knew when I needed rest and when I needed to walk. I have a lot of examples written down out of scripture that demonstrate these traits: compassion, forgiving, disciplinarian, provider, defender, patient, gracious, loving, teacher. But I'm aware of how long this episode is already getting to be. But before we move on, there is one last characteristic that I wanted to point out, and that is present. God is a present father. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So God isn't just present. He desires to be present with you and you with him. He is waiting for the opportunity to spend time with us. So as God is our father and we are his children, and these are just a small handful of his characteristics, how does God parent us in comparison to how we parent our children? When we make a disaster of our life, of our circumstances, and we turn to God and we say, "Oh Lord, help me." God ran to the prodigal son. He ran with open arms and a kiss. Aren't we glad that God isn't there to say, "Didn't I tell you so?" Or, "How dumb can you be?" Or, "How about not there at all? What if he were too busy, too distracted, if he was on his phone?" How do we react when our kids mess up? Because our perception is not always the best reflection of reality, let's ask ourselves this question. Do your children, grown or still at home, run to you when they've messed up? If they don't, it's a good indication that you weren't there for them in the past. Not just one time, but repeatedly, to put the point they said, "Why bother?" Or are they afraid to bring to you their problems when they mess up because they will feel the wrath of mom or dad? If your child doesn't bring their problems, their screw-ups to you, it's because they do not feel comfortable or secure enough bringing them to you. And they're going to take their problems and their mess-ups to someone else. Is that person going to direct them in the way that is best for them? Speaking what's best of them, aren't you glad that God doesn't stand over us and nitpick and tell us what's best for us and all the things that we're doing wrong? Or when we seek his opinion, that he doesn't come back with some negativity every time? Even if your critique was meant to better them, to help them, if all you ever give is negative feedback, they will stop asking. If all we ever got from God was ridicule, would we continue to seek him? And if we didn't seek him, what or who would we have sought? And if your children are not seeking your opinions, I guarantee they are seeking them from another source. And is that source going to guide them in the way of life that they need to be guided? Aren't you glad that God isn't moody or unpredictable? Do your children walk on eggshells because they don't know if they're going to get the loving mom or the maniac mom? If God was either hot or cold and we never knew which he was going to be, would we desire to spend time with him? Would we want to sit in his presence? I'm sure we would not. Then how can we expect our children to want to hang out with us when our moods are unpredictable? When they don't know if they're going to get their loving parent or their crazy parent? Aren't you glad that God doesn't demand perfect from us? He doesn't demand that we be spot on all of his commands all the time. And if we're not, he withholds love from us. Aren't we glad God doesn't present to us that everything has to be good enough? If we are thankful for the grace God extended to us, then why do we not extend the same grace to our children? You see, the best parent guide out there is to compare our parenting to how God parents us and ask ourselves, if God parented me the way that I parent my children, would I respect him? Would I love him? Would I desire to please him? Would I desire to spend time with him? If we raise our children with the world antics of do as I say, not as I do, we are being hypocritical, unhealthy, and unhelpful in helping them prepare for the world. We are raising them up to be the doormats that we have treated them as. If we raise our children up with the world antics of let them be kids, they don't need responsibility, we are not preparing our children with the essential skills to be successful adults. Instead, we are preparing them to be leeches on society or others because they are unable to do for themselves what is necessary. If we raise up our children under the world's antics of being their friend, they will lack the respect and guidance that is vitally necessary to survive in this society. And if we raise our children up with the world antics of tyrannical iron-fistedness, and yet we preach church, we preach the Bible, we are destroying the potential relationship that that child has with God. Because our relationship with our earthly father has a direct impact on our relationship with our heavenly father. We all carry baggage, but the baggage that we have from our relationship with our earthly father can either clarify what the love of God means or destroy understanding of who the heavenly father truly is. God does not parent on emotions, and neither can we. We cannot let emotions control our bodies, our reactions, our actions will never be aligned with the word of God if we do. Proverbs 14:17 says, a quick-tempered person does foolish things. Running on emotions will only have us reacting in foolish manners. The best prayer I ever had was, Lord, help me to love like you, to be a parent to my daughter that builds her up for you, that strengthens her relationship with you. Please keep me from destroying or ruining her, Lord. Please help me to keep my mouth shut when it needs to be shut and give me the words that I know that you know that she needs to hear. It wasn't long after I began this prayer that God began to answer it. My daughter brought something to me and my first gut reaction was to ask, are you out of your ever-loving mind? But God stopped me in my tracks. He kept my mouth shut like I had prayed. And he whispered to me, if you want her to bring important things to you later, you have to validate what is important to her now. And I did. And if you're listening to this episode and you have young children, pray right now. Pray and ask him to make you a better parent, to guide your words and your decisions, and continue to pray this. Continue to pray this. You have a blank slate to really make things right. If your children are preteens and you realize that you have not been parenting the way that you would want God to parent you, do not fear. You have time to turn this around. Pray what I said above, but also add for God to show you ways to mend the relationship that's already beginning to be shattered. Ask him to reveal ways that you can apologize. Never, ever, ever underestimate the power of an apology. Apologies build trust, demonstrate humility, and teach our children how to do the same. But remember, it will take time to undo the destroying of trust and move into the restoring of trust and relationship. Now, if you have teenagers, unfortunately, your cards are stacked against you. There has likely been a lot of heartache in both directions. There's a lot that needs restored, but do not lose faith because God is good and he is the God of impossible. Pray, pray, and stay in prayer. Pray for yourself and your child. Pray the way I mentioned before, but pray for hearts to be softened in both directions. Admitting where you have fallen short will move mountains here. But remember that they have seen your old parenting style for a while, and they will be skeptical, maybe for a good while. Hold steady, and remember, do not let emotions rule. Do not react with emotions. Do not respond with emotions. Will it be hard? I'm not going to lie, it will. But again, God is the God of impossible. Now, if you have grown children, this one's hard because there's a lot more factors that are going on. They could have removed themselves from your life, or they could be busy with their own lives, and you can't get back that time that you've already had. But you can't acknowledge where you went wrong to them. You can apologize and ask them if you could begin to build a relationship back. Understand, though, that they might not be receptive to that. It is in that situation where your child wants nothing to do with you that you must be open to be more like God. Just stand at the door and wait for them to open it. Be ready when they are ready. And, you know, be faced with the fact that they may never be ready. And honestly, that's on them. You can only do your part. And if that's the case, you must guard your heart from bitterness. Accept that you had a role in that and forgive them for choosing that decision. Just like God gives us free will, and he doesn't like it when we choose the world, but we must too give our own children that free will to love or not love, because we do not want forced love, because that is no love at all. Just like in all the groups, prayer is the answer. Pray for the heart, pray for courage, pray for humility, and remember, God is the God of impossible. And just a quick thing on the apologies, they have to be specific. I'm sorry alone will not work. We must acknowledge our shortcomings and say them for what they are. And an apology without action will be empty words and eventually will fall on deaf ears. So make sure to continue to pray and continue to break previous bad habits. There's a lot of parenting directions that God gives us in his Word of God. In the last episode, I went into some of the extremes and how to be balanced in them. I was planning to go into them again, but I really think evaluating your parenting and if God parented you the way that you parented your children, would you continue to love and respect and desire for him to be a part of your life? And if you are self-deceived on how you parent and think you are doing a great job with no room for improvement, reflect on how your child treats you. I would venture to say that 9 times out of 10, they treat you in direct comparison to how they feel you treat them. So if you feel you parent them well and they treat you unfairly, chances are that your perception of reality is skewed. In this case, I would start prayer with asking God to reveal to you areas that can be improved upon. Lord, I pray this message reaches every struggling parent, new or old. I pray that those who need this as a wake-up call receive it as such. I pray that those who need it as a roadmap see it as such. I pray that those who hear this message and have a great relationship with their children and it is balanced in truth and grace, that they find this as an emotional encouragement and you place on their heart the names of someone who might need to hear this message and prompt them to share it. Lord, I don't desire a lot of people to hear this message for the downloads or the likes, but for more people to experience not just your love, but the ability to love like you do, to raise up their children like you do. Thank you for being the perfect example of a parent for us, the perfect father, the best example we could ever have. In your amazing name, amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Broken Messenger.